This is the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, let's talk to Ruben Frank. He's on the beat, obviously, covering the Eagles day by day. He's also on the Hall of Fame beat this weekend, which is a pretty cool thing to be at. He's in Canton, Ohio, where I was at one time. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is really a special place in America. Eric Allen was a special person and a special player for the Philadelphia Eagles for a long time. And he goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Let's welcome Ruben Frank right now. Rube, good morning.
Hey, guys.
I'm excited for you that you're out there, Ruben. What a great assignment, and what a great person and player to be able to track the next couple of days, man. Eric Allen is so deserving, Ruben.
Yeah, he really is, and I think he got overshadowed a little bit because of Reggie. People kind of looked at that team and that defense as Reggie and some other guys, and gosh, it took him 24 years.
Yeah.
He only had one more year of eligibility to get in, so he waited a long time. 58 interceptions, 9 pick sixes. I mean, the numbers are there. The smartest player I've ever been around, the smartest player I've ever seen.
Wow.
You know, he didn't have incredible – I mean, he wasn't the fastest guy, the biggest guy, any of that stuff, but nobody prepared more than Eric Allen. Nobody knew what the quarterback was doing better than Eric Allen, and that's what made him a great player.
Ruben, I thought he was double overshadowed. So you bring up rightfully the overshadow with Reggie, and, you know, Seth in many ways got more acclaim. Jerome, obviously, in his time was – you know, beloved and incredible. I thought he was overshadowed by Eagles. I also thought he was overshadowed. And listen, these other guys were better, but it didn't mean Eric Allen shouldn't have been a Hall of Famer way earlier. His era was Dion, Rod Woodson, and to a certain extent, a portion of his career, Darryl Green. And I thought that also hurt Eric. But that doesn't mean he shouldn't have been a Hall of Famer a decade ago. I mean, come on. Look, what is he... How is it for him out? Have you gotten an opportunity to see him out there yet? And what's on tap the next couple of days?
Yeah, I spent a bunch of time with him yesterday in Canton. And, I mean, he's so thrilled to be here. It's funny because he says he never felt like it wasn't going to happen. He was so confident.
Wow.
He said he just believed that the voters would eventually kind of look at the numbers. And his numbers are really similar to Deion's. You know, 58 picks, 9 pick sixes. Obviously, Deion did other stuff.
Sure.
Was an incredible player. But, he just had this calmness. He said when he got the call, he just wasn't he wasn't jumping up and down for joy. He's really happy, but he kind of expected it, which is really cool. He's just that's the kind of person he is, just a really positive guy. He's thrilled to be out here. I spent some time yesterday with Sterling Sharp and Eric, who first met at the East-West game their senior year in college. So
wow.
38 years ago. So they've known each other for a long time. They're going in together. Only 4 guys going in tomorrow. So it's a special day. A lot of those guys, Seth, Clyde, Heath Byers, Keith Jackson, Randall, they're all going to be here tomorrow. They're all here now. So it's a really cool way to get that group back together. And obviously we lost, you know, guys, you mentioned Jerome. Oh. We lost Wes Hopkins. We lost Andre Waters. So many great players from that group. But
yeah, and Mike Pitts and Reggie. I mean, it's incredible. They lost 5 guys from that defense alone. Incredible.
Yeah.
Rube, let me ask you the age-old question, because you mentioned Reggie and the overshadowing of Eric Allen. Defensive line makes it easier and better for cornerbacks. Cornerbacks make it easier and better for defensive line because they hold their spot. They don't give it up. The receiver isn't open. He gives you extra split second. Boom, you got the sack. Who helped who more, the Eagles' defensive line helping Eric Allen or Eric Allen helping the Eagles' defensive line?
Well, I don't know who helped more. I mean, Reggie's one of the greatest defensive players ever. And,
right, exactly.
You know, so they helped each other, and that's what made it a great defense. There was really no weak links on it. I mean, they had great linebackers, rushers, the interior, obviously, secondary. So it was just one of those defenses from 89 to 93, so 2 years under Buddy, and then Bud Carson, and then, you know, Emmett Tommy. They were the best defense in the NFL for a 5-year period. And you don't do that with just one guy.
No question.
11 of them.
Yeah.
And they had them.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great to have a second Hall of Famer from that group. Ruben Frank with us from Canton. By the way, Pete DeHammer coming up in about 10 minutes. So be ready to call when I give you the cue to call. Be the contestant. This is a big one, by the way. I'm going for 290. Ooh. So looking forward to claiming that big victory coming up in a few minutes. Rube, let's talk present day Eagles. You've been at all these practices. Number one thing that has stood out to you from training camp so far is what?
I would say the secondary, the coverage, has been unreal. I mean, Quinyon has taken a leap in year two, and you know how good he was last year. All those guys, I mean, they have linebackers that can cover. They're making it really tough for the offense to get going, and you know how good this offense is. So it's been, I think this defense has a chance to be really, really good despite all the people that they lost. A lot of unknowns and some question marks still in the secondary, but I've just been dazzled by the secondary and the coverage and just how much better some of these guys. You see Cooper taking another step forward, Quinyon, and you know, they're just really solid. And it's really kind of, actually, Mike Quick was talking about how similar this defense is to their defense with Eric Allen and Reggie White, where like last year the defensive line got so much credit and the secondary was really, really good and people maybe overlooked them. Similar to back in the day, back in the late 80s, early 90s. But this secondary is going to be good even without Slay and you know, without Avante Maddox. They'll somehow get by without James Bradbury. yeah, I mean, that's been the biggest thing I've seen.
Boob, Keely Ringo, Adoree Jackson. How's it going to be decided?
Yeah, it's been back and forth. I think Adoree got a good start. The first few days he was better. Keely struggled. And then Keely had, you know, I wasn't there yesterday. I was out here in Canton, but Keely had a good day, whatever that last day I was there. And so it's going to be back and forth. I think it's close. You know, neither one is a perfect a player, but they both have, I mean, Keely's got that incredible length and athletic traits. He's just got to be more consistent. And then Adoree Jackson's got the experience and the know-how and the savvy. So I think they want Keely to win the job. They want the young guy, the draft pick, to win the job. But it's close right now. And if I had to pick one guy, I think Adoree's a little bit ahead of him, but there's a long way to go.
Ruben, so we got a preseason game in 6 days, which is unbelievable for the Eagles. I mean, there was one last night in Pro Football, the Hall of Fame game. But so as a reporter, do you even bother to ask Sirianni anymore about whether starters are going to play in the first game? Like, if you do you just feel ridiculous asking the question? Like, you literally know the answer.
Yeah, I try not to ask questions that are not going to get an answer. Like, if you know it's not going to, like, you might get two questions to Nick. Why would you ask him one that he's not going to answer? It doesn't make sense. So somebody's going to ask it. I don't know why, but, you know, that's not going to change. And look, it's been proven to work. And
it has.
It's been proven to be the correct way to do it. And the risk of getting somebody hurt is just not worth it. So you go see. I like seeing these young guys play in preseason games. I like seeing the unknown guys and the street free agents and the rookies. So that's what it's going to be. And you'll see a lot of Tanner McKee, a lot of Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And, and you take it for what it's worth.
Last question. You mentioned Tanner McKee, Ruben. So we get ready to see him in 6 days. Let me ask you this. In the next 2 years, do you think he's a starter in pro football? I do. I think he's a starter somewhere. Do you think so?
He's that good. Yeah.
Yep.
I really do. And I think those two games at the end of last year, I'm sure Howie got offers for him, but you know, he was going to be number two this year, so he wasn't going to move him unless he got a really ridiculous offer. He's really good. You watch him at practice, like, how is this guy a six-round pick? He's got a cannon. He's accurate. He's smart. He's got that great size. He really commands the huddle. He's confident. I asked Jalen about Tanner the other day, and he said, you know, when Tanner got here, like, he would ask me questions, and I would do my best to answer them. He's like, now we ask each other questions. Wow. It just tells you how far this kid has come, that Jalen kind of sees him as a guy he can learn from, that he can turn to for advice and information about the defense and all that stuff, which is really amazing for a six-round pick who started one game in his career to have that kind of value. But he's that good.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think he's great insurance. If Jalen were to get hurt, you never want to lose the opportunity to win a Super Bowl if you have a Super Bowl-caliber roster. I think he's, you know, very likely one of the better backup quarterbacks in pro football, which is great. Rube, have a good time this weekend, man. I'm happy for you that you're out there, and we look forward to talking to more soon about the present-day Birds. Good stuff. Thanks, Rube.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right, let's listen to Cooper DeJean. We had him on the show on Monday, I believe it was. So we got into the discussion about three different spots he could play. One, of course, is slot corner, nickel, where he was last year. Another is outside corner, where he was not playing last year, but Darius Slay played, and they could get him on the field more by putting him out there. The third, of course, is safety. Safety, he played some in college football. Let's listen to Cooper DeJean in this exchange the other day.
I think ever since I got in here, they've told me to try and learn every position, in the back end, and that's what I've tried to do, since I got here. I got some reps at corner and in the spring, getting some reps at safety out here during camp, and then also playing nickel, but just trying to be ready, for wherever my number's called, no matter what position that is, but I know the coaches will put me in the right position for me to make an impact on this defense.
Which spot has it been the most so far of the three?
Which spot have I played the most?
Yeah, I mean, meaning at this camp, just a couple practices so far.
Nickel and safety. I've been the two that I've played the most so far this camp.
Do you have a preference?
I really don't.
It is amazing, John, how versatile he is. And to your point earlier, it's an incredible weapon for Fangio
to
have.
He's being asked to do the same things, whether he's at safety or nickel, which is you're going to have to cover guys in the slot. You're going to have to cover zone. You're going to have to cover man. You're going to have to hold up in the box like a linebacker. You're going to have to cover backs. You might have to cover wide receivers. He can do all that stuff. And when he says it doesn't really make a difference to him whether he's safety or nickel, it's because he's doing the same stuff whether he's safety or nickel.
I don't think they're going to put him on the outside corner, though. I just don't. I think they'd put him at safety if they moved him out of the nickel.
I think the fact that he is capable of being out there gives them increased versatility, but I would agree with you. I think he's better used on the inside as our nickel or a safety because of his box ability.
You want to keep him where he's best. Like, even if he can play safety, I think whichever position he's the most valuable,
Well, it's also the other guys.
It is the other guys.
That's the point. Like, if they don't have another safety, he has to play safety. So I think,
I love that,
part of the equation. And whether they trade for someone, we talked about trading for corner or safety, like that could change the equation.
It gives us so much flexibility. He and Jalen Carter are the reasons that this defense is great. He will stay on the field no matter what. We don't have to worry about him coming off. Last year at the end of the season, the reason we as a defense were so great is because it didn't matter what the offense put on the field personnel-wise. We stayed put with what we did, which was nickel. We stayed in our nickel looks with Cooper DeJean at the slot because that was our best. That's our best 11, and that is so versatile. And that's an ultimate advantage. We don't even have to pay attention to the personnel groupings for all intents and purposes because – this young player is so talented. And then don't forget the fact that the other young player, Jalen Carter, is erasing two guys
on
his own.
I think you shortchange Quinyon and Bond when you don't mention them.
You're right.
Because I think they're right
incredible.
There also.
And part of what makes them so amazing, Zach Bond and Cooper DeJean, the way they fit into everything, the way they all understand, Quinyon as well, the way he understands how the defense fits together. They're so informed. It's so smart. These guys are so well-versed in what they're doing, and I'm blown away by the fact that Vic Fangio says they've got a lot of stuff in. They've got even more stuff to put in. And Cam Jurgens is telling us, man, it's pretty complex. I think they must have the entire defense in. This defense is so far ahead of where we were last year at this time with incredible personnel that we know of. The personnel that we know we love, these all pros that we didn't even – they were secret all pros last year.
Yeah, we had no idea.
Now we got Cooper DeJean. He's number 60 in the NFL's top 100. We didn't know we had this guy last year.
No.
Quinyon Mitchell, we had no idea this guy could cover anyone last year at this time. This defense is going to be fine. And when I say fine, I mean like fine.
Good.
Like woo-hoo,
well, I'm
fine.
Glad I'm glad you believe it. And I hope you're right.
But Hugh, we are here at Eagles camp, and There's a few themes that are emerging, right, as we go through this. You know, on the roster and then kind of mentality. On the roster, there's some questions, right? They lost a lot in the offseason. Safety is emerging as a question. But any way you slice it, the Eagles still have a tremendous roster, and there are going to be more good things than not good things in this roster. But, Hugh, one thing that has been the constant theme of this, and it's gone with every player we've talked to, every time Sirianni talks, it's about moving past last season. Mm-hmm. It's about not talking about the fact they won the Super Bowl last year. And, Hugh, I got to tell you, at first I was like, all right, I get it, right? Like, you got to climb the mountain again. You have to kind of put that in the past. But they did win the Super Bowl last year. They are the defending champions. And I remember 2 years ago when they were coming off of losing the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It felt to me like they tried too hard to get back there. Like, it was almost like that there was a mental block in them, and they were almost not having any fun. I remember watching that season, like, they were 10-1. And they looked miserable. And it felt like they tried too hard to make sure they had the right mentality of, we got to finish this time. And it was like weighing on them throughout a full season. And what I don't want this time, as they try to defend winning it this time and being Super Bowl champions, I don't want them to go out of their way to pretend they're not the best team in the NFL. They are. They are the hunted. I think it's okay to embrace that. And the more we go through camp, I wish they would embrace it. They're the best team in the NFL. They still, by a lot of people's metrics, have the best roster in the NFL. Embrace this. They're the Super Bowl champions. Hugh, do you wish the Eagles would embrace more that they actually are the defending champions? Or are you good with what they've done so far, which is really, I'd say, gone out of their way to say, I mean, what, Sirianni banned the R word? He's not allowing the word repeat?
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on this? Because we haven't seen this very often around here. There's only been two Super Bowl champions for the Eagles in their history. Do you like the fact that they are doing this and almost acting like they didn't win anything last year?
They're chasing greatness, Joe. When I look at this team, and you have to step back, and you have to look at it. Look at whatever era that you feel Eagles were a good football team, or Eagles greatness, if you will, outside of the obvious teams, the championship teams. Mm. You know, we talk about the Buddy Ryan era. You know, we talk about the Andy Reid era.
Yep.
And what do all of those teams have in common? Great individual players, like guys that, you know, as fans we gravitate towards. But we're like, hey, you know what? That was my favorite player. But for whatever reason, they didn't win the Super Bowl, right? But this team, when you look all over the roster, you know, I got a chance to talk to Mike Mayock today and you know, just chopping it up. And he's talking about, you know, how good this football team is and how he has amassed so much talent to put around his quarterback. And they're winning games. They're in their prime. You know, when you talk about, I'm long talking a little bit. I just want to let y'all know I'm a long talk, just a little bit.
You didn't tell us beforehand.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But you look at Jalen and how he handled his offseason, went out and talked to Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan and all those other people. They're in a unique window when you talk about teams in the NFL. Number one, all their talent at key positions are in their prime, right? The defense is hella young and financially under control for at least 4 years. They want to try to maximize this window as much as they possibly can. That's why they're not talking about it, in my opinion, because they want to go back to back, back to back to back.
And I appreciate that. And look, they have the talent to go back to back. They have that.
You can revel in it when you retire.
But you don't have to run from this. I mean,
you
look,
can revel in it when you retire.
Last year at this time, the Chiefs were trademarking three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they didn't run.
And what happened?
They won 15 football games.
But what happened?
They lost the Super Bowl. But you know what? If the Eagles get back to the Super Bowl, this is an awesome season.
I remember when.
You think they didn't beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl because they trademarked three-peat?
I remember
they
when.
They were ready for everyone's best shot.
I see you ready for this.
Yes, I'm ready. Embrace this. They were ready last year.
You remember when the new. So we're talking loud today, so I guess louder we talk. Yeah.
Talking loud.
But no, you remember when the Patriots were chasing the undefeated season?
Yep.
And they went through the whole season, didn't lose a game, and lost the most important game of the year.
Super Bowl.
I mean, I think that this team is looking at it and, like, they're looking around the roster and they're like, damn, we got this person. We got Jalen Carter. We got Jordan Davis came in. He's in shape and he's all focused. We got Cooper DeJean coming into his own. We got Quinyon Mitchell. And all of these guys are young. And – we have a chance to do something special. You know what's funny? Because as I got older and my skills started to diminish in the NFL, I was like, damn, I'd never get a chance to go to a Super Bowl. That's the reality, because you're looking around the roster, and it's like, no disrespect to anybody that I play with, but you look at the flaws at certain positions, you're like, hey, well, this is where we got beat at last time. You know, we got a good defense. Every year we went to the NFC Championship game. Got a good defense. Couldn't score enough points. We put ourselves in position to win. Couldn't score enough points. And after a while, you realize that there's a strong possibility that you might not get that opportunity. And you come to grips with that, and you adjust, and you keep moving. This team right here, though, the fact that your quarterback, you can say what you want about him, Buddy been in the playoffs every season. He's been a starter in the NFL.
Yep.
You went out and got a running back who resurrected his career and changed the trajectory of the running back position. You got one of the most decorated receivers in all of football ever on your roster in Devontae Smith. You got one of the biggest, strongest receivers, probably some people say the best receiver in the game, in A.J. Brown. And you got a road grader of an offensive line. I don't have a problem with them putting in the work now so they can enjoy it later. Let me give you an analogy. Since I'm cooking over here, I'm cooking.
I think you're
like
cooking
the
in the
chef,
heat.
Chef Curry.
In
but here, let's, here's the reality of this situation. It's almost like, you know, we work our whole lives, right, and put money in our 401k. And when we reach a certain age, we pull that money out and we enjoy our retirement. We buy the boat. You know, you buy the summer home at the shore, and you enjoy your grandkids. Mm. This is what they're doing. This is the sweat equity that they're putting in now so that they can enjoy the fruits of their labor later on.
And I appreciate that. And look, I think in general they have the right kind of people here, guys that have won in college and been around winning. So I think they're going to be fine long term. It just feels like the approach is more sustainability rather than let's go do this again. Let's, you know what's special? Winning back-to-back Super Bowls. Think about how many teams in history have done that. Not many. That's special. The Eagles have the talent to do it. Just embrace. Let's hear Nick Sirianni just a couple days ago, an analogy he had that I understand his point, but it's only true to an extent. Here's Sirianni a couple days ago on the mindset and what he compared his team to as they head into the season.
Yeah, I think that, you know, nothing that you do in the past, now you can look back at your past experiences and learn from, but no one, like, this isn't boxing where it's like you're the champ until someone takes your belt away. No, this is football. Everyone starts off 0-0. And I think two mistakes that you could make is, you know, resting on your laurels or looking too far ahead, right? Thinking too much about the past, or looking too far ahead. I mean, that's been our mindset since day one, has been be where your feet are, be focused on that, because nothing that we did is going to influence anything that we want to do in the future. So it is about the daily work, regardless if you're coming off of, you know, a 9-8 season, a 14-3 season, 11-6 season, or a 14-3 season. It's the work that you put in that is going to get you ready for the games here. You know, so we don't, again, that's just been our mindset. I don't think that anything's changed. I don't think that it's, hey, I decided to do this this year with this message. No, this has been the consistent message all the way through, and that's just where our focus is.
All right, so he said a lot there, and I think the analogy's fun, right? The boxing one where, you know, it's not you can hold a belt the whole season and someone tries to take it away. But he left out one thing about the boxer and the Super Bowl defending champion. You get everyone's best shot. The Eagles, like, they can't pretend that that's not true. They're going to get everyone's best shot because they're now the standard in the NFL. It almost feels like they want to try to fly under the radar. That's over. They can't fly under the radar. They're the defending champions. The Chiefs have gotten everyone's best shot. That's the way the league has worked for the past 6 years or so. And they've pretty much embraced that. Like, we got to be ready every week because we're getting everyone's best shot. I wish the Eagles would just embrace it. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. 215-592-9494. Let's hear Elliot, his takeaway on this off of Sirianni.
you know, I kind of hate to break it to him. Like, they did win the Super Bowl last year. Like, they can pretend like they didn't and say we're not defending champions and we're not, like, you are. Like, you can use whatever semantics of language you want to use, and I respect that, you know, as someone that enjoys a good semantics argument. But but it is the reality. They are the defending Super Bowl champions. The burden of wearing that crown all year is going to be on their head, whether they want to pretend it's there or not. So I get what they're going for, and that's why I wanted to ask, just because I was curious why they didn't decide just to embrace it. They are the defending Super Bowl champions. Every stadium they walk into this year, they will be the defending Super Bowl champions. They have something on their plate 31 other teams don't have to deal with. And it feels like they've gone to such lengths to insist they're not focusing on it. Why not just focus on it? Why not just embrace it? Like, yeah, you know what? We did win the Super Bowl last year because the objective's the same. Whether you view it as you are the defending champions or not the defending champions, you're still trying to win the Super Bowl.
So I share Elliot's sentiment. The other thing that I disagree with from Sirianni with is he said nothing that happened in the past will have anything to do with this year. That's just totally untrue. If they start off 2-2, what is people going to say?
They got the Super Bowl hangover.
Well, no, that maybe, but they'll say they started off 2-2 last year. You can fix it, right?
I see, like, what you're saying.
Of course we're going to draw parallels. It's most of the same team, and it'd be crazy not to draw parallels from last year because they just did it. We're going to see remnants of last year in this year as it plays out. You can't pretend we're not. It's not 5 years ago. 215-592-9494. Do you wish the Eagles would just embrace who they are, the defending Super Bowl champions? Kyle, what are you feeling on this? Elliot's right. It feels like they have gone out of their way to say this. The messaging is very loud from the Eagles since we started this last week.
Yeah, but Joe, let me help you out a little bit. Okay. Let me just take you inside the mind of a true competitor like Hugh Douglas and myself.
Okay.
It's about the day-to-day, Joe.
Right.
Like, you've heard this from Michael Jordan, Tom Brady. Like, don't they just make up stuff that they try to convince themselves that they know is untrue just to grab motivation from it? They're not stupid. They all say this stuff, but they know they're the hunted. They know they're going to get everybody's best shot. I mean, where do you think Sirianni heard all this stuff from? This isn't just him making this up in his head. Wasn't he talking about how he spoke to all these great winning coaches and stuff this offseason? Like, this is where he's getting that messaging from. When I hear all this stuff, I hear a team that's in lockstep in what the goal is for this season. And that's not to they're not running away from winning the Super Bowl again. They're just trying to all be on the same page. I mean, you hear it from Hurts, A.J. Brown, Landon Dickerson. All these guys are saying the same exact stuff. That, to me, tells me that they're on the same page as the coach. They're on the same page as each other. They know what the goal is. They're not stupid. Embracing it is for the fans. But for the competitors, they have to convince themselves of something a little bit different and get the motivation from it. Like the resting on their laurels thing, that's what would bite them. I think setting it as a new goal entirely is the smart way to do it. And I like the fact that this is where their head's at.
So I get it, and I think that's a fair point on Sirianni. He probably, you know, talked to a lot of people, and this is what he came out with, was this is the best way to try to win again.
Yeah.
The only thing I point to is 2 years ago. I thought they made it too much of their mindset that we have to finish the job, and it's tough to think about the ending when you're trying to go through the steps. And it just felt like they were miserable throughout a 10-1 start. They looked it. They looked miserable. And this year, you know, if they have a bad moment or two, it's okay to say we are the champions. We can believe in ourselves rather than last year didn't happen. We're just 2-2. We're just 3-3. Like, there is some value in what they did last year because they know if they embrace it, they're champions.
Speaking of training camp and Elliot, so we had last week where J.J. Watt gets sort of mad at everyone for training camp stats. He wanted to go away. Can't have training camp stats. And then today, Cam Jurgens at training camp said this. Oh, jeez.
You've got to give Stewart and Davis a good amount over the last few years, I guess. Is it as different to go against him this year as he looks? I mean, obviously looks a lot better.
You know, I'm still getting limited reps right now, but, you know, he's doing a good job so far. You know, first day with pads, so it's hard to tell just from one practice. I don't really count any of the practices without pads. They're fake. It's not football. 7-on-7 doesn't matter. Stop tweeting about stats or whatnot. Doesn't matter.
All right. How about this? This is my suggestion to anybody who doesn't like training camp stats. Don't look at them. Like, my advice to Cam Jurgens and J.J. Watt is to not tell people not to tweet about the stats. My advice would be, Don't look at them. What is the big deal about telling us specifically what happened at practice with statistics? Everybody, now Cam Jurgens is not guilty of this, but I'm sure J.J. Watt is. As we have like the lead up to football season, just every day we get, oh, this is the last Thursday we're going to have without football. Yeah. And this is without the last Sunday. And we throw this big, you know, celebration when training camp starts. Mm-hmm. And then what are we supposed to do for the 6 weeks in between when training camp starts and football actually begins? I think the statistics that we get from training camp are interesting. They are informative. They are not the end. They are not the be all end all. Like, yeah. And no statistic is the be all end all. Mm-hmm. I would rather have the training camp stats than not have the training camp stats. They're fun. They help us talk about training camp in a different way. I think they are good. I like training camp stats. I'm curious whether the people listening like the training camp stats. I think they're interesting. And I think anybody who doesn't, like Cam Jurgens, I'm sure during the season tunes out us plenty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, just tune them out. Like, I think maybe some people are overreacting, but lots of people overreact to a lot of stuff.
Sure.
You know, we can't stop them from overreacting. I would put it this way. I would rather have Elliot come in here, and instead of telling me Jalen didn't look that good today or Jalen looked great today, tell me how many times Jalen threw the ball, how many times it got intercepted, how many times it went mm-hmm. for a touchdown. It's just like, it's not the end of the world. It's fun. It helps make training camp more interesting, and I think it is informative.
Yeah, listen, I don't have a problem with them. I got to admit, it's something I had to grow to appreciate and love what Elliot does. But I do sort of get where players may react to it, even former players that are now analysts or what have you, how they will minimize stats in a training camp practice because, as JJ pointed out, and he's right to a degree, not in every situation, but to a degree, he's right that you don't know what the drill, what the objective of the drill was there. So I guess when you're trying to determine, like, the numbers aren't just numbers on the paper, right? We deduce something from the numbers. Either you feel like he had a great practice or he had a bad practice.
Sure.
And how much you talk about that matters to some people.
Yes.
Right? To some people. So a player will say, okay, he completed 16 of 25 passes. He had two interceptions, and that gets tweeted out.
Mm-hmm.
Most people would be like, oh, that wasn't really a great practice day. He didn't have a great practice today. Right? And then the player may be like, well, you don't know what the objective in the drill was. What about all the other plays that I did well in practice? How I got the ball in a two-minute drill, these other things. So everything is with context. I appreciate it because I'm not at practice. I'm like you. I'm interested to hear what fans think about it.
Yeah.
Like, because basically, Elliot is our eyes.
Yes.
How does that make you feel?
Well.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Sometimes it makes you feel good, and then yes. Sometimes people are upset at Elliot for what he tweets out and once he adds his commentary with it.
215-592-9494. Do you like the training camp stats? Do you find them valuable? Do you think they're fun? Or do you just want them to throw away all of them? You know, what you said I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. Because you're like, you know, you might see those stats and think this. And somebody might go, well, what about this play, this play, this play, and this play? And that's true, but that doesn't make it any different than a game to me. Do you know what I mean? Like how many times for Jalen specifically, by the way, how many times do we see a game and maybe he's 12 of 17 for 122 yards, mm-hmm. one touchdown, and that's it. And everybody's like, right. But if you saw the game, you would see that he did this, 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 and this. So to me, the training camp stats are not really that much different than even a game. I mean, how many times? I think of like having Baldy on. Mm-hmm. And Baldy, I'll say Baldy. Like, why did this happen? He said, well, you got to understand. This guy's responsibility is this, and this guy's responsibility is that. And
well, like, he first would have said, Ike knows.
Yes,
and
yes.
He would have addressed your question.
Yes. I think Elliot's training camp stats not only are valuable, but I think they are fun. I think they are informative. I think they give us a better, not a complete picture, not a complete picture.
What about his commentary
a better
that comes
picture.
With it?
I think that actually makes it even better. Like
we don't always want to hear that commentary because sometimes it ain't commentary we want to hear.
Well, I also think, by the way, I think it's funny. Elliot has been one of the most pro Jalen Hurts people on the face of the planet since they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, and then
pretty about face.
Well, I mean, it's true. Yes. I mean, he's been super positive. He tweeted out the stats from today, which were not good. Gave him a C minus or whatever, and nobody was complaining about his stats when Jalen was 94% right. and the ball didn't touch the ground
the other day.
But now when it's 70% and he gives him a C, it's like it's just practice.
That's back to back practices too.
Yes,
I heard Saturday wasn't great.
It was not great from what I heard.
Cause for concern.
I want Cam Jurgens to relax. I want J.J. Watt to relax. Training camp stats, this is more than we've ever had. We used to be able to go and watch as many practices as we wanted to. I'm talking about fans, not the media.
Yeah.
And the fans can't watch as many practices as they wanted to anymore. Like, most people will only get a chance to go during the public
open practice
at the link.
Yeah.
There are some lucky people that get the chance to watch down at NovaCare, but that's very limited.
Selected.
I think training camp stats are good. I think they give us a better picture of what's going on. I think they are interesting, and I do not want them to stop. 215-592-9494. What do you think of the training camp quarterback stats that Elliot has originated and now have caught fire all across the country? It's Tuesday at 3 o'clock, which means Tuesdays with Elliot. We are still reeling from the poor decision, poor sportsmanship, I don't even have enough words to cancel tennis today because it's too hot. And Joe and Jack were so, and I still have not, no one has sent me the text messages. I want to see the text message exchange between Rod and Jack and Joe to see who actually decided not to do this. It seems like it was as much Joe and Jack as Rod. That is what I've determined. Hi, Elliot.
What's up? How you guys doing?
What is your thought on the idea to cancel tennis today because of the heat? One set of tennis, by the way.
Yeah, so I'll just say from my perspective, I was on the sideline at Eagles practice. I did work today. It was very hot. I was out there for the whole practice. and people started to come up to me like, oh my God, I can't believe, did you hear, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking I missed something on the other side of the field.
Yep.
But it was that tennis had been canceled. So when it came out that it was canceled, it definitely, I mean, rocked is maybe a strong word, but like it was the talk of practice for a solid 5 or 10 minutes there on the sideline.
People came up to you, you mean like Sirianni, Hurts?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jalen walked off the field and he was like, fatigues for cowards. And I was like, good point. And So, I mean, I was surprised. I mean, we knew the forecast yesterday.
Right. So like, forgetting about being surprised, like the actual decision of and until somebody stops me and shows me proof from text message that it wasn't this way, this one was saying the decision by Joe and Jack to not play tennis today. Your thoughts?
I would have played.
Right.
I would have played.
So would I.
No, you had an opportunity.
Well, let's see what the text say.
Let's see the text.
So they're not showing. They're not showing you the text.
They won't.
I feel like in, any relationship, when you're not showing text messages, that's probably a reason those texts aren't being shown.
Yep.
There's nothing to hide. I mean,
yeah.
It's a good point.
If it happened the way we all say it happened.
Working out, which is, let's be real, playing tennis for them is just a workout. And the heat is better. You sweat more. You get a better workout going.
Get a little nice little sweat
exactly.
going.
Jack likes to call himself a snack now. He would have been, leaned out after playing in the tennis.
I was thinking about the amount of pounds I would have lost playing tennis today.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And final thing, Elliot, before, and then we'll get to training camp.
Second most important athletic thing of the day. Training camp.
Is the framing of this from both of these guys specifically, and I'm going to make Joe responsible for this. Joe's entire framing of this is I am a better athlete than Jack. And then Jack is, no, I am a better athlete than you. If the entire framing of this is who is the better athlete, and it came from them, it didn't come from Rod, it didn't come from me or Ike, it came from Joe. If your whole thing is proving what a good athlete you are, what better proof would we have than you getting out there when the elements aren't perfect, like the football players do, like baseball players do it, but we don't cancel baseball games when it's too hot. If this entire thing is an athletic competition from them, And they're saying we are not good enough athletes to do this.
If only there was a way to play sports in a controlled weather environment where you didn't have to worry about things
like
that.
Right.
But the last thing I'll say is because I was on the morning show this morning and we talked about this on air. And I talked to Joe off air, and I feel comfortable saying this even though it was off air.
Love this.
Joe was ready to play. Like, I was
so
talking
was
to Joe afterwards, and we talked about the Heat, but he was not. He never once said to me something like, oh, I hope we don't play, or this is going to be really tough. He was just kind of like, it's going to be hot, but he had a strategy. He was ready to go. I think he thought the Heat worked to his advantage. So I haven't talked to Jack a ton because I was at practice, but the vibe I get is Joe was ready to go from my interaction with Joe.
So was I.
I got to see the text.
So was I.
I got to see these text messages so bad.
But didn't fight.
I wish somebody would hack into their phones.
Yeah. Well, that someone might do that.
All right. So training camp did happen today.
Yes.
Boy, they practiced. Can't even believe it.
Two full hours. Longest practice at camp.
And wow. How long was it?
It was almost 2 hours, yeah.
And did they move practice up, Elliot?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
From 9 to 10.
Interesting.
10 to 9.
From
10 to 9.
Yes,
idiot. Thank you. Yeah.
I suppose I want to get to this first. Vic Fangio said a couple of interesting things.
That's a good practice.
Yeah, two hours? Oh, yeah.
That's good practice. That's good work.
A lot of team drills, too.
Yeah, you feeling good over there?
I love it. Yeah.
Here is what Vic Fangio said about Adoree Jackson, who has been starting or has been
got
playing
first team
with
reps today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I remember you looked like a film a year ago, and then he eventually gets benched, but did you trot that up more as a team wanting to look at younger players than anything he was doing?
No, I didn't watch a whole lot of tape on him, how he kind of wanted to sign him, and when Howie wants to sign somebody, it doesn't matter what I say. So we just took him in, and I didn't really watch a lot of his tape last year, but I've seen him play over the years. Saw him when he was coming out of college. So,
So there's another quote from him about Adoree that I think is – like startling.
What did he say about it? What was the other quote?
So I'm paraphrasing here. The audio I believe is in the system because I'm using it on the daily pod tomorrow.
I think I have it.
Find it, Fritz.
Yeah.
Well, I think I have it.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Why do you think that this is the place that he can maybe show? You mentioned what he could be. Is it the scheme?
Yeah, I don't know if I think it's the place. I think it's time for him to show that. You know, he in Tennessee, when it came time to re-sign him, you know, after his contract was up, they didn't. The Giants, his contract was up, they didn't. You know, it's time to show who he is or who he isn't.
I mean, that's rough.
They're both pretty rough.
Well, I think that second one for me, and I could probably offer better perspective, but if I'm Adoree and I see that, I mean, I feel a little insulted by that. You're basically saying two teams have moved on from you, is really what he's saying. Because, and if we want to get into context, I believe he got a massive deal to leave Tennessee. Like, he was a premier free agent that got signed. I was just surprised to give that assessment of a player, which is basically every team's moved on from him. It's essentially time to show whether he's the guy or not.
Yeah.
That's like something we could say on WIP. I'm just surprised to hear that from a coach at the podium.
Yeah, and it's refreshing. In today's PC world where coaches aren't allowed to be open and honest about players, even if it's not the intention of being disrespectful or rude to the player, but just trying to give us, you know, as a reporter, using an example, you ask a question, you want an answer. You don't want a disingenuous answer. You don't want some answer, just a filibuster answer, which you typically get from coaches today, because you have to protect the feelings of all the players. And maybe that still works on the offensive side of the football, but on the defensive side of the ball, you know what? I want my players to be tough, rough, and grizzled. And you know how you get tough, rough, and grizzled? By being coached that way. And that's what this defense knows. That's what these young players are being brought up under. And anybody that comes here and wants to be a part of this environment and this culture with this defense, this is what you had better get used to. Now, Jim had more of a, I don't want to say softer way, but he certainly wasn't as blunt.
Publicly. Right.
When speaking about the players back then. You know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, he may give you one of those straightforward, blunt answers. But he still coached us the same way Vic Fangio coaches these guys. Only difference is that Vic Fangio comes to the podium and he doesn't have time to try to walk on eggshells because he's worried about a bunch of players' feelings. And if I'm him, quite frankly, I don't know if this was the way he was in Miami, but if I left Miami under those pretenses where the players didn't like me and I was too hard of a coach and this and that and the other, and I basically got fired or was asked to leave. He didn't get fired. He left, right?
Yeah, he left to come to the Eagles.
He left to come to the Eagles.
Now, the Dolphins let him leave. But yeah.
So, which means they pretty much took the player side of things.
Correct.
Sure.
Over his, and then he comes here and takes a last place defense and turns them into the number one defense in the league and they win a Super Bowl. I'm not biting my tongue. I don't have time to be worried about who's going to be upset about this. Because if my star players are fine, then everybody else that comes that wants to be a part of this, they just have to accept it. Now, the one thing I will say, it's going to be a little touchy or sensitive as we move forward here. The whole describing of how he signs the players,
that's
different than a player.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
That's different than a player.
I know you said that the second quote, to me, that is the kind of thing that as long as the defense is number one, everything will be fine. But if it is not...
Well, I don't know if I completely agree with that.
What do you mean?
The defense is number one, then yes, obviously the results are the results. But I do still think, no matter how you slice it, if you're a Dory, that's not something you like to hear.
Hold on.
I agree.
But hold on. What I mean is, him saying publicly that I didn't want that guy,
yeah.
How he hears that, I don't know
well,
how.
He didn't say he didn't want him.
Yes, he said.
I didn't look at the tape.
I had nothing to do with that guy. Yes. If Howie wants a guy, he signs him. I had nothing to do with it. I am guessing. If I'm Howie, I'm gritting my teeth and I'm saying, what? Why are you saying that? So the second thing, if he wants to talk about how good a player is, whatever, fine. It's that kind of thing that is why guys like Vic Fangio
don't
wear
last.
Out their welcome and don't last.
Look,
it makes him who he is.
Sure.
But that's the same way that we're all talking about like dynasty and blah, blah, blah. Vic Fangio is going to be out here in 2 years. Like you say things like that, you're eventually going to rub enough of the players. Look, I love Vic Fangio. He made a number one defense. He got a Super Bowl. But you can't. That kind of stuff is, like, I don't think it's going to fly.
Well, you remember, too, that whenever he talks about Zach Bond, he's had a few quotes of saying, you know, how he signed him to be a special teams guy. I realized he could play linebacker and turned him into what he is.
Yeah.
Now, that could be the truth, right? So ultimately...
Don't necessarily need to know that, though.
Yeah. Right. I just think that, you know, again, this is maybe a little, like, on being Super Bowl-itis, but I think this is actually against that. Mm-hmm. Just because the defense was number one doesn't mean the way Fangio does everything just goes beyond question. And I have covered too many teams. I don't think it does. I've never really heard a coach analyze a player like that up at the podium. I wonder if he has seen something from Adoree where he feels Adoree needs a message sent through the media. But one thing I hear a lot from you and other people is, like, one of the reasons you guys loved Andy is because Andy had your back at the podium. Like, Andy, and Nick Sirianni's the same way. To me, when Vic Fangio's talking about Adoree's career and saying, well, it didn't work out in Tennessee, it didn't work out in New York, who even knows if it'll work out here, I just don't know why that has to be public. If you want to say that to him privately, fine. Like, go push him, yell at him, do it. Like, Vic knows how to coach guys. My only criticism would be, if Adoree's listening to this press conference, he has to leave it feeling, Vic didn't want to sign me. And now he like thinks my career has been, you know, a waste, essentially.
Uh-huh. So what is he going to do? Retire?
No, but I do think it matters, the culture and how the players and coaches get along.
To a degree.
Yeah.
To a degree.
But it matters.
Vic's job. Well, but everything matters.
Correct.
It's how much does it matter?
That's what I'm saying.
In the grand scheme of things, my only point is if this is Coach Fangio's way and method of coaching, and he's not picking on you. He coaches everyone this way. He's brutally honest about everyone, right? He's holding everyone accountable. It's one thing about players. As long as you're honest with us, we'll adapt. They don't have mentally soft guys on the team. They can't be coached.
But
hear me out for a second, because what you're saying is Adoree's feelings are going to get hurt, and now he's not going to perform because that's what happened to your guy, Bryce Huff. I know where this is coming from, and this is what happened to Devin White. But guess who was right about those two? Vic Fangio was. So until he's wrong, I suggest we follow his blueprint. And it may be uncomfortable, but guess what? I'm okay that there's somebody in the building that makes people uncomfortable, that gets results. That gets results. It's just an old school way of coaching. That 2-hour practice, you know where that comes from?
Vic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why they were able to overcome a 2-2 start when everybody wanted the coach fired and the quarterback stunk at that time? It's because mentally, they were tougher than they were the year before when they quit. They were being prepared mentally. They went through tough training camp practices. They battled. They had the toughest training camp they had had here. Lane Johnson never had a tough training camp this tough.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Graham, they all said it. Well, guess what it led to? A championship. I'm on the outside. I'm not on the inside crying about how long practice is and the coach was too hard on me. I'm on the outside rooting for this team. And if it leads to W's and it leads to success, then guess what, Buttercup? Toughen up. That's what I would tell Adoree Jackson. You want to be a starting corner on a number one defense? Yeah, here's an opportunity you have right now.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. Adoree Jackson has not voiced any displeasure.
This is Elliott crying for him.
Yeah, correct.
I just want to be clear.
He cried for Bryce Huff and Devin White.
Well, I just want to be clear that Adoree Jackson
has not. Let's talk about Bryce Huff and Devin White.
Yeah.
So maybe Devin White is just not an NFL player anymore. Maybe Bryce will go to the San Francisco 49ers and struggle, right? Mm-hmm. But first of all, I think the fact that we agree he's talking about Adoree in a similar fashion to the way he talked about Bryce probably doesn't give the impression that he's super excited about having Adoree Jackson out there on the field, because he talked about Bryce in my opinion, a less critical way in training camp last year, and Bryce couldn't get out on the field really, or at least they took him off the field. So maybe we need to relook at this cornerback position and how much Vic really likes Adoree. But the other thing I would say is maybe Vic's right about these guys, but I also think part of the reason Bryce Huff didn't work out here is because him and Vic didn't see eye to eye. And look, Vic has the resume. I don't have the resume as a defense coordinator. Mm-hmm. But
just so we get that,
just
so
everyone knows.
Just to be clear, but like, I mean, it didn't work out in Miami for him. He, if we want to talk about resumes, didn't work out for him as a head coach.
He had a bunch of high-priced players
I just think that
were in South Beach.
But there's a difference.
By the way, half of them are gone this year.
Right.
The year after they got rid of Fangio, they got rid of the players.
But there is a difference. How do you think Vic would feel if Adoree stood up there and went through Vic's resume? That's the point I'm making. Is there a difference between being like...
I'm not telling you if it would feel good. I'm not telling you that. But I'm also telling you that guys get coached hard. And yeah, it doesn't feel good to hear your coach go up there
and say
what he said. But here's what I'll say to Adoree. And I hope he makes the team. I hope he's able to contribute and be on the team. He's not an Eagle yet. He hasn't made the team. You were doing this for Devin White last year, and he never suited up for a game.
Correct, and I thought that was unfair. Well, I'm just like giving, like, that's my opinion of it.
But it didn't hurt the defense.
No, it didn't hurt the defense. You're right. So, but if we're going to set up
fair.
But the point
are we doing fair? Are we doing what's fair, or are we doing what's best for the defense?
But also, are we going to set it up where everything, like, you can do it this way as long as the results are okay?
Yes.
I don't know if that's the best way to go about
That's life.
But it's kind of life. Like, you can make bad mistakes
hold
and
on,
get good
hold
results.
On, hold on.
Like,
hold
I,
on,
I.
Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. This is the same. Method, or this is the same source of information we use to be okay with what Jalen does on the field, right?
Yes.
As long as he wins.
Right, as long as he wins.
That's all that matters.
Well, yes. But no, yes, there is.
He won the Super Bowl.
No. The Super Bowl ring, I said he put it on because of his teammates. I've talked about how he needs to be better as a teammate.
I'm saying overall, I'm talking about his performance. As long as he wins, it's okay. No matter what his numbers look like.
You can get away with more when you're winning. I agree with it.
That's all I'm saying.
But what I'm saying is it's going to be hard to win the Super Bowl every year, to be the number one defense every year, and you have to have something to fall back on. And I think the Eagles have a good culture, so I don't want to stretch this too far. I'm just saying I've never heard a coach talk about a player like that up at the podium, and it was surprising to me.
When was the last time you covered a coach that was number one defense?
Last year with Vic.
Well, I mean, prior
no,
to Vic.
No, I know, yeah. I mean, no, well, they've had bad coordinators. Gannon's defense was pretty good. Weren't they number one under Gannon in 2022?
Well, can I say this?
Yep.
The most interesting thing about the Adoree Jackson thing, I think, is that he's the one who came in as probably the likely backup, and he's been playing with the ones.
Well, and
so,
also,
which is an interesting sort of conflict here, because it's been Adoree Jackson taking more of the ones reps than Kelee Ringo is.
Yeah.
So, like, I wonder what he thinks of Adoree Jackson at this point.
Well, to be fair, Devin White took almost every snap at linebacker last year.
Oh,
till,
did he?
Till they benched him. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So I you know, we'll see.
We know why that happened.
Yeah.
He got $5 million.
Yeah. Well. And he should have got a chance to play, but we can get into that another time.
No, I don't know that we.
I was just surprised. I was surprised to hear.
I was surprised too. But should we be surprised by anything Coach Fangio says up there? You should be prepared. You ask him a question; he's gonna give you an honest answer.
I agree with that.
Well, and I want to be clear, Vic. If you're listening, I want you to keep answering questions like this.
He's gonna give you an honest answer,
buddy. You are gold. I think everything you say is great, right. Especially what you said today about Heat being a mindset.
Yeah, it's
being hot on. Being
it's not a mindset.
Do you have that quote again?
Yeah.
From Vic Fangio?
Yeah,
what Vic Fangio said.
It's also not just the mindset.
Soft and Softer, our morning show host, and Jack Fritz decide not to play tennis today. Here's what Vic Fangio said.
After all your years coaching, how much do you enjoy or not enjoy a hot day like this at training?
It's not hot today. That's a mindset. You know, we're going to play some hot games in September, and if you cave to a hot day in training camp, we're in trouble.
Yep.
They went out there for 2 hours.
Are we in trouble as a show is the question.
They did move practice up an hour.
An hour. That's the only thing.
I wouldn't call that caving, but it was.
That is the only thing.
I was compromising.
I think I've been pretty easy on Lakin during this entire
would
thing.
Would you?
As I'm blaming Fritz into camera. We knew it was going to be hot yesterday. We could have moved it up yesterday.
I'm just so impressed with the 2 hour practice.
Oh, yeah. You love it.
They went 20 minutes. And I actually think they went longer than they were supposed to, I believe.
Okay.
Wow. All right. 215.
I'm impressed with it.
215.
That's another check mark.
For you. Agree.
Yeah. Just me and you.
Jahad's starting to work at edge. So, you know.
Yeah.
No.
Hold on. Is he starting where?
He's starting to get a little edge work after practice.
I heard.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592.
You'll like what you hear today from practice. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
You need to go host the show, Elliot.
No, go for it. 215-592-9494.
There we go. Let's talk some Eagles with Elliot Shore Parks after practice today. As the Eagles, man, we've been here for 2 weeks now, and it seems like, Elliot, every time we talk to you, there's something a little bit different about what's going on, and it feels like the last couple days, maybe it's more about that passing game. Elliot, how are we doing today?
What's up? How you guys doing today?
What's up, man?
Well, Elliot, we're good. Yesterday, we weren't here, right? You were here, but we weren't. And, you know, we were all focused on the trade deadline and the Phillies and who they're going to get. And they didn't end up doing anything big yesterday. But I did notice yesterday that you did not have a good grade for Jalen Hurts and his practice. And that feels pretty rare over the last two summers. It feels like most days you're giving him either a good or a great grade. So tell us about yesterday. And then we are here today. And every time I looked at Elliot, it didn't look like the passing game when the first team was on the field was humming. What have you noticed? What's going on with the passing game right now?
Yeah, you're right. It is rare for Jalen to have a bad practice. But, you know, unfortunately, it's becoming a little less rare over these last few days. And it's not all on Jalen, I'll say that. That the passing offense in general, to me, doesn't really look like it's clicking right now. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. One would be personnel. They've done a little bit of a mishmash like offensive line where today Drew Kendall was in there at center. Landon Dickerson has been taking some snaps off. And then obviously Devontae's not practiced for a few practices with a back injury. And then today AJ only took part in, I would say, about half of the team reps. It looks like he didn't do the second half of the day. So he's not out there with a full deck of cards. I will say that. But what's happening in the passing game is more and more passes are falling incomplete. I had him down at 6 of 11 in yesterday's practice where he had a really bad interception in a big moment. Today he was 13 of 23, and today was really kind of a simulated game. They did kind of live action up and down the field, first down, second down, third down. And the day started well. He ended the first drive. It was an 11-play drive with a touchdown to Will Shipley. Nice throw about 20 yards out. But after that, he didn't complete. I mean, he completed less than half of his passes and had a few chances for more touchdowns and missed them. But, yeah, not the best day for the passing game. The running game was good, but not the passing game.
Elliot, the other thing that I noticed, and again, we're doing a show, and I'm looking out, I'm seeing bits and pieces of plays, and then you know maybe I missed something, and you're right there. It also feels to me in the time that we've been here, the shows we've done so far at camp, that I feel like he's taking off and running a lot, which he's good at, and it moves the chains during the games. But I would think in practice he's trying to complete a pass, right? Is that pressure getting to him, and he's scrambling? Is he not? Is there no one open? It feels to me like there's been a good amount of I've looked up and Jalen's running instead of throwing.
So I don't know if I would say it's been a lot. I think your assessment that it is definitely happening is correct. I mean, today I have him down with probably 4 or 5 quarterback runs. He was on the field for 46 plays. Some of those were runs to Saquon. So it is happening. And I think there's a couple reasons there. One, like I mentioned, the offensive line has been a little bit kind of patched together because not everybody's practicing on every play. And the defensive line, as a result, has been good. Today, Azeez Ojulari got a sack. Moro Ojomo got a play where he knocked a ball out of Jalen's hand. Actually, the second day in a row, he's had it knocked out of his hand in the pocket, which is a bit concerning. And then also, you know, I think part of the reason he's running a little bit, maybe more, is because guys aren't getting open. Again, you don't have AJ, you don't have Devontae. And while you're right in practice, maybe you want him to say, you know what, I'm gonna try this and I'm gonna throw it. I'd rather Jalen take care of the ball. Like, it's pretty simple with the Eagles. When Jalen takes care of the ball, they win the game. So he's not being reckless with the ball, but he's definitely holding on to it, I would say.
Elliot, Shahad Campbell joined us a few minutes ago, and we asked him about edge compared to playing inside, and he was kind of noncommittal on, you know, he wanted to give away how often he's playing either, but you could tell he's excited about wherever they're putting him on the field. I mean, Hugh asked him what he wants to do more of, basically, and he just said be on the field. But yesterday you did say that you did see him getting some reps at outside, which is certainly eye-opening, because getting a chance to sit next to him, Elliot, he looks like an edge. Like, he's got the body type of a definitely guy that could rush the quarterback off the edge.
Yeah, he's much closer, I would say, to Jalix Hunt in a body type than he is a Jeremiah Trotter, right? Now, Zach Bond, also, you know, a tall guy. But I think Jahad is probably the best athlete on the entire defense. And if they weren't so loaded on offense, you can make an argument the best athlete on the entire team. I mean, you guys got a chance to see him today. Anyone that's seen him out at practice, it stands out immediately. He has really long legs, long arms. He covers a lot of ground quickly. And as a result, I think he projects as an edge. I think this year he will play the majority of his snaps at linebacker. But you saw in yesterday's practice that he's starting to get some reps at edge. Now, he is further along in his development as a linebacker. He rushed somewhat at Alabama, but didn't do it a ton. And in the reps he's gotten rushing in practice this year with the Eagles, it's not been impressive, right? He's still working on it. But as a linebacker, he's making plays continually. He's bringing a physical presence to the defense, which is tough to do sometimes in practice, but he definitely does that when he's out on the field. Did get beat today for a touchdown. He's who Will Shipley beat for the touchdown, but he's definitely had a super impressive camp, and they can do a lot of things with him for sure because of his athleticism.
Do you see him as a day one starter or somebody that could potentially work his way in and become a starter later in the season?
So if you would have asked me this prior to camp, I would have said probably not. But now, after watching them practice 7 times, he's going to be out on the field a ton in week 1 against Dallas. He's just too athletic, too good, and they've invested too much in him not to have him play. Will he be a starter? I would say probably yes. I think that ultimately he will beat out Jeremiah Trotter Jr., and then he'll be next to Zach Bond. Is there a world where Trotter's out there, but Bond is... I'm not Bond, where Campbell's playing a bunch of different roles and he's doing all types of things, but he's not technically a starter? Mm-hmm. Maybe. But prior to camp, I had the over-under on snaps for Campbell in week 1 at 10.5. I would probably jump that up to 25 or 30. Like, I think he will be out there for sure a ton.
All right, Elliot, I'm going to ask you to kind of fill in the blanks here. So we are about a month away, a little over a month away from the opening night game against the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to give you 3 names, and then you tell me the 2 names that are missing. So the secondary on opening night, and I know sometimes there'll be 4 guys out there, sometimes 5, more often 5 because it's more nickel than base. But Reed Blankenship, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, they're going to play. They're going to be on the field a lot. Who are the next two? Who are the other 2 guys? So another safety, if it's not Cooper, and then another corner. If you had to guess right now, who are the other 2 guys that make up most of the secondary opening night?
Yeah, so if they were playing on Sunday, right? They were playing 2 days from now, week one, the season begins. I think the other two guys would be Adoree Jackson and Sidney Brown. Andrew Mukuba, he did some individual work today, but he's missed now four practices essentially with that shoulder injury. And so I think, and with him out, Sidney's been able to get a ton of team reps. He's getting first team reps. He's been here longer. He talked today after practice about how, you know, last season he was rehabbing in the offseason. This year he had all offseason to get ready for this season. So he feels good about where he's at. And I think he would start at safety if they played on Sunday. And then Adoree Jackson, I think, has just had a better camp than Keeley. Now, I don't think either has stood out in a positive way, but of the two, Adoree seems to be getting more snaps with the first team, and I don't think he's getting beat as much as Keeley is. Keeley's given up a few catches. So those would probably be the two, but my guess is where, you know, doing that pregame show out at the link for week one, there might be a few new names we're talking about when it comes to that secondary.
LA, a couple of days ago when we talked to you, I guess it was Tuesday when we were here, or Wednesday when we had you in studio, you were talking a lot about Saquon Barkley and how many reps he's got. It sounded like he was, once again, the star of the day. Say, so after viewing seven now or so Saquon practices, does it look like last year? Because there's been a lot of feeling and worry and concern, like he's going to lose a step. The burst isn't going to be the same. Age, attrition, all the workload last year. It looks the same to me, Elliot. What are you seeing?
I think he looks better in camp this year than he did this time last year. I mean, he's been unbelievable. When he touches the ball, like, it's hard, in my opinion, for a running back to really shine in practice if you're not tackling, because plays get blown dead so quickly. He was unbelievable today. It might have been the best practice I've ever seen from an Eagles running back in my, like, 15-plus years watching training camp.
Wow, like
he
that.
Touched the ball 14 times. He had touchdowns on back-to-back plays. He had a long run. He went back-to-back. One was technically a two-point conversion, but in a practice, it's basically another touchdown. And I thought what really stood out to me about him today was the energy he brought. The offense, as we talked about at the beginning of this call, was not good the past few days. From the moment Saquon got out on the field, he was clearly, in my opinion, stepping on the field to make a statement and to get things going. He was trash-talking to some of the defensive players, both during the play sometimes and also after the play. Like I said, he ran it a bunch, 11 carries, three catches. Could have had a long touchdown if it wasn't broken up at the last minute. He was really, really good. And much like last year, he's what the offense needed. They needed Saquon to be special to get things going again on the offensive side of the ball. And that's exactly what he was on Friday.
What have you seen from A.J. Dillon and his contributions so far this camp?
He's looked good. He's looked good, especially with coming off and not playing football for a year. He actually has, or at least going into today, I haven't added it up yet, but had more first-team carries than Will Shipley did. I think the way they're viewing this, just based off practice, is when Saquon's not in the game, A.J. Dillon will probably go in. But when it's a Kenny Gainwell, you know, situational football, third down, two-minute drill, I think that's when you could see Will Shipley go out there and be kind of that Kenny Gainwell pass-catching, pass-blocking running back. But A.J. Dillon has looked good. When he runs and gets ahead of steam going, he looks tough to bring down. He runs hard. And also just, you know, talking to him a few times since he's been here, you can tell he's a veteran that's been in the league for a while, and I think he's going to be a good addition to that locker room. So, yeah, definitely an impressive camp for A.J. so far.
Did Nick speak after practice, or was this just the Sirianni flu game? Because we did hear he wasn't feeling great before the practice.
I heard he got the bubble guts.
Oh, uh-oh.
I just made that up.
Okay, you're recklessly speculating.
Yeah, reckless.
Gotcha.
There we go. No, he did not talk after practice. He did go out there and coach today, you know, his Willis Reed moment, walking out onto the practice field. And it was, I'll say this too, it was an intense practice. You guys were out there. You could feel how much cooler it was. And I think they took advantage of that. Jalen was on the field, like I said, 46 plays. The practice was almost 2 hours. The practice was pretty much exclusively 11-on-11 with thudding, if not completely tackling to the ground. So Nick, I think it was a good thing Nick was out there. It was clearly going to be a big day of practice. And, yeah, he fought through and made his way through practice.
Elliot, what is the schedule now for the weekend for the Eagles?
So they're off tomorrow. They practiced four times in the last 5 days, so off tomorrow. Back on the practice field Sunday morning for the first of three straight days. It'll be the first time in camp they'll go three straight days. So they'll go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, and then next Thursday night we're all back out there for that pregame show. Yeah, so excited for that.
We got ourselves football on Thursday.
Thursday exactly night football.
Right. Exactly. How about that? All right, Elliot, we appreciate it as always, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks with us there.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.